And we welcome everybody to the latest edition of Zia Comics Weekly. My name is Joey from Hot 103's Big Show, alongside my good friend Troy joining us remotely today. What's up, Troy? How's it going?
Hey, I was just vibing off of that music, man. We don't usually get to hear the intro because Martine's got it.
Yeah, I know, right?
First time I've really heard it.
I was like, okay, hey, we actually got music. We're stepping up in 2022, aren't we?
I guess it was always there. We just never heard it.
We never have. Different vibe for this week's episode. As you could tell, we are socially distant. Hopefully, we'll be back in the same room next Thursday.
Live from Joey's bedroom.
How are things been going? I've never noticed your office. What you got going on in the back? I see a lot of memorabilia. I see some Western Athletic Conference stuff.
I can pull the camera here. I got a little bit of stuff. I got the Kevin Smith and Jay Muse signed Dogma. I got behind my chair. Well, I don't know. There. When I worked out at White Sands, when you leave, they give you a bunch of stuff. That's a bunch of military stuff there. There's Randy Travis.
Oh, hey.
Nathan might like that. David Allen Coe, he might like that one too. Signed stuff. I think that was Tony Stewart.
No. And I see, not to brag, but that degree in the background.
Yeah, that's actually real.
Hey.
I paid a lot for it.
I think we all do pay a lot for those, don't we?
Yeah, you got the Lou Hansen. I got George Carl. Man, I'm a horrible cameraman.
See, that's why we hire the professionals like Martine and Jackie to do this for us.
Yeah, I got a bunch of little just memorabilia junk up there. There's Rusty Wallace. Yeah, just a bunch of garbage people probably don't want to see, but
oh man,
I saw it just now anyway.
I'm in the bedroom, of course, working remotely. And before we
Thank
went
you
on,
for making like, the bed.
Hey, you made your bed good.
Push everything underneath it.
Oh man, you don't even want to see. I mean, from this point up, looks good. Everything, laundry and everything else, man.
Yeah, you can be just sitting there with your pajamas on. We wouldn't know.
No, I actually got dressed up for the occasion. First time this week wearing clothes, man. I'm pretty proud of myself. One thing I will mention, though, in the background, one thing I did get to put in our bedroom, my wife let me, was in the back I have my name, and it's actually each letter has different comic books from different Marvel characters. So she found these, and she's like, yeah, you can put it on your side. So I was like, cool. So I'm still missing the Y, as you could tell. So we only got to the E part. So once I get the
budget.
Y.
Yeah, budget.
Hey, man, Christmas came and it's like, wait, you're gonna have to wait till Valentine's Day and we'll get you the last letter. Well, today, of course, is we're going to take it a little different this time around for this episode and really pull back the curtain when it comes to a lot of things, when it comes to comics, when it comes to some of our favorite things, especially when it comes to stuff that we find at Zia Comics. Now, Troy, break it down for those watching. You know, Zia Comics, it's been around for a very long time, and it definitely is the nerd headquarters when it comes to finding things, comics, things, you know, manga, everything, man. I'd say when you go in that store, there you could be there for hours and still need a couple more days to go through the store.
Yeah, like I said, we try to cover all the genres that we can in pop culture, but it's such a huge genre that, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I'm sure there's some stuff we're missing, but we try to cover it all.
Yeah, and I'm sure when people approach, especially when they come into the store and they're looking for something specifically, what's it like? Like, so say I go in there and I'm looking for a certain comic or I'm looking for a certain memorabilia item. What is some of the first discussions that they have with you when getting to the store?
Well, a lot of people who are new to the comics, they don't really know what they're looking for. So they'll come in and say, you know, I don't know what to read. Can you help me out? And so you got to ask some leading questions, you know, try to find out, well, do you like superheroes or do you like story driven stuff? Do you like horror? Do you like, you know, suspense, all these different, cause there's comics for just about every genre. They're not all superhero related. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you figure out what they want, then you kind of try to lead them to the right place. And then you show them, hey, good morning, Stephanie. you try to get them to the right comic for them. And, you know, that sometimes that takes a while, especially if they're new. But usually, you know, you give them a couple options. They pick one. If they like it, they come back and get more of that title. If not, they'll come back and say, yeah, you know what? Show me something different.
Yeah. And I think that's a good start, like you said, just to kind of get people, you know, what do I want to see? Because I'll tell you right now, I have thoroughly followed when it comes to, you know, DC and Marvel. And, you know, I've even some of the, I mean, Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT. I mean, those are just some of the things that I liked particularly, but it's always I guess to each his own, finding kind of what they're into and kind of what it's almost like choose your own adventure when it comes to, well, what comics do you want to go look after and what are you into? So I that's what I've always enjoyed about, you know, when it comes to the nerd life is what we'll call it, the nerd life. And what exactly we're into. Now, one thing I mentioned earlier before we jumped on air was comics and the value of comics. So say somebody right now going through their shed and they find these comics, not most of them sometimes are high priced comics. They may not be worth a lot.
Yeah. It, you know, people think just because the comic's old that it's worth a fortune.
Yeah.
It's not always true. Especially a lot of times if they make something to be collectible, it's probably not collectible.
See, that, I wouldn't have known that though, because you always get those limited edition and you're like, oh, it's going to be limited worth something. And it turns out it wasn't worth anything.
Sometimes that limited isn't really all that limited, you know, limited to, you know, 30,000. Well, come on, that's not really limited. But yeah, a lot of it depends on the comic, you know, what happened in it. Did a new character get introduced? Did a character die? Did something important happen? Those are usually what you call your keys, your key comics. Those are ones you're looking to collect. Those are ones usually hold their value better or go up in value when they use something like that in a movie. But a lot of the older stuff, especially in the 90s when they mass produced like X-Men number one, the Jim Lee and Claremont X-Men. Man, I've got stacks and stacks of that stuff, like $3 a comic. It's just, it sold 250,000 copies. So there's a bunch of them out there. A lot of that in quality of the comic, you know, the condition it's in. I've seen people come in and bring me a comic with the cover falling off, missing half the staples. And they're like, oh yeah, but that's good for its age. Well, that's not how grading works. They don't say, you know, hey, this is a 9.6 for its age. No, it's just overall grading, regardless of how old it is.
I just think tires for some reason. It's like, hey, I could sell you these tires, but there's no tread on them. And
yeah, but they're them good back for their age.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, everything is good for their age, but it doesn't mean exactly we're going to want them. But so, I mean, and that's interesting, though, because a lot of us think about like, okay, what type of impact it makes. So if you have a certain comic out there that makes a certain impact, and I would say, because keeping up on social media, you always hear about certain, you know, there's certain turning points in a comic. Now, let's just use superhero for the example. There's always those turning point, those moments where it does become a big cultural impact that can have an effect on comic. And I think that's what drives people to say, well, are we going to see this in a movie or in a TV show? I mean, that's kind of how I've personally have seen it.
Yeah. That does take effect. But then a lot of times they'll ruin the right, like with Death of Superman, mm-hmm. when they first killed him off, man, those comics were so hot. You couldn't find them. They were skyrocketing in price. Then they brought Superman back and the price just, boo.
Yeah. And that's weird because I know the Ninja Turtles are currently doing that with their latest run on comics that they have going on. If I'm not mistaken, in this latest series, there's like a big change when it comes to the Ninja Turtles, correct?
There's several. One of the turtles, they teased that he was dead, but then they kind of brought him back. Now there's another female turtle. It's almost like they're jumping the shark. They try to do too much. Instead of writing good stories, they try to come up with gimmicks sometimes, and it just doesn't go over well.
Yeah, that's got to be tough to keep up. But let me ask you, Troy, is it tough to keep up with that, to then try to, like, does every comic have a future in movies? Because there's quite a bit of storylines that, will we see it on the big screen? Because, I mean, one example that stands out to me is the Miles Morales story for Spider-Man. I mean, and then we got to see it, you know, in cartoon form. So is every comic good for the big screen?
Well, I can name a few that would tell you no. You know, the RIPD didn't do that well in the movies. I think Lock and Key is on one of the streaming services, and it's kind of been doing mediocre. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of series and movies people don't even realize originated in comics. And, you know, half the time when we're out, you know, I'm watching TV or at the movies with my wife, I tell her, hey, that's based on a comic. And she doesn't believe me. So, you know, she has to Google it to try to prove me wrong, and then puts it away because I'm right. But
Did she ever admit that she's wrong?
She's a woman. No. Of course not.
I was waiting for that. I was like, okay. I was like, she probably did. She just said, oh, Google said, but you're not going to say you're wrong.
Yeah. No, but yeah, heaven forbid if she found something contrary to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that just, I wouldn't say it doesn't translate well to the screen. Maybe it's the director or producer. Maybe they're just not presenting it the way people want to see it. And then, you know, they always change the source material a little bit on these movies and TV shows anyway.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Now, Troy, I don't know if you ever get asked this question. What is something that you're really into? Like, is there a certain genre? I know we talk a lot about, you know, superhero movies and, you know, Marvel, DC, but what are you particularly into? What is something that really strikes your interest? Something that we wouldn't know.
Well, I started out when I was younger, I was always make mine Marvel, and mm-hmm. Spider-Man was my guy. As I got older, though, I started moving away from the superhero stuff more into the story-driven things. Image had a lot of those, and now it seems like Boom Studios is getting a lot of that with the different – they got Power Rangers, they got Firefly, they've got Slaughterhouse. It's just a lot of story-driven stuff that's not superhero-related. And I find myself gravitating more to that stuff now rather than superheroes, because it seems like they keep repeating these superheroes and just giving them different names, you know, with slightly different powers instead of coming up with something new.
Okay. Okay. And it just, I tell you, there's such an adventure for everyone. And for those that have never been to the store, y'all got to go check it out, because you guys just have hundreds and hundreds of different adventures for people to choose from. And it may not necessarily be something that we're talking about. There may be an adventure out there that you're like, hey, and you gravitate to a certain story. Like, you know, you mentioned Spider-Man. I mean, I think for me, the biggest one growing up, I mean, I remember X-Men a lot. For some reason, X-Men always stands out a lot to me growing up, because I mean, yeah, we had the cartoons, but there was just so much. And then to see it then go to a live action movie, I mean, X-Men really resonated with me, man. I always thought that was a cool series and franchise, and seeing it through. And I mean, it's just like everyone has their own adventure, man.
So you mentioned X-Men. What was your favorite X-Men movie? Because there's been a ton of them.
I've really liked the Hugh Jackman. I mean, Hugh Jackman, just when he did his own The Wolverine, I really liked that play. I was really curious to see how they were going to, you know, go from Ryan Reynolds, how they had him in the one movie where he was going to be, obviously we knew what he was going to be, Deadpool, but it was just to see that. And I really just enjoyed just, you know, following the adventure of Wolverine. And I thought it was really cool. I am curious to see how they will reintroduce it into the new Marvel franchise. I just don't think they can. I think X-Men, we just got to leave alone and move forward. I mean, I've seen the references from Deadpool that they mention X-Men, obviously. But I don't know, man. I just kind of want them to leave that one alone and just kind of to move forward. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
It's remember, Hollywood.
It really is Hollywood. If there's money attached to it, Troy, you know they're going to make something.
Oh, yeah.
You could jump in on the conversation if you guys are watching this, if you're streaming it live. If you have any questions for myself or for Troy, let us know. And we definitely want to see you guys jump in on the conversation. Like earlier, Stephanie hit us up and said good morning. So if you want to jump in on the conversation, drop a comment. We'll make sure to check it out. Troy, moving forward, let's talk a little bit about, have you been keeping up with Boba Fett? What's your thoughts so far on Boba Fett?
Yeah, without spoilers, it's going to be tough. Yeah, episode 3 just came out yesterday. And I don't know if you watched it or not, but
no, I'm behind an episode.
Did you start it all? Cause I know you were going to wait to binge them.
Yeah, I started. I'm episode 1 and 2 in right now. So far, pretty good. I don't want to give too much because maybe there's somebody out there that's trying to stream it just like me. So far, very impressed. And can we just agree that I love the way that these shows are put together? I mean, from The Mandalorian now to Boba Fett, it definitely, whenever they move on, because I know there's going to be some other projects, just makes you look forward to them, man. They're really good.
Yeah, well, Obi-Wan's coming up soon, too.
Yeah.
And they should all tie together. I'm just wondering if one of his flashbacks is going to have The Mandalorian in it. Because he's been doing a lot of flashbacks in this series.
Yeah, I mean, they do open it up to where we're going to see hopefully some character. Once again, don't want to spoil. We really want to try our best not to spoil, but yeah, no, it's been very good. And talk a little bit about as far as you know, what are your anticipations for as far as, I guess, for this show going into, you know, other Star Wars, you know, franchises? I mean, can they keep up the hype? Because Disney, Marvel did a good job. You think Star Wars can be on track to do the same?
Yeah, they put the reins in the right hands. You got, you know, Jon Favreau, who's a huge Star Wars fan, and then Dave Filoni, who was pretty much the architect behind Clone Wars and Rebels. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was 8 seasons of Clone Wars, and I can't remember how many of Rebels. So he's got a pretty good background in Star Wars lore. And with Boba Fett, it's almost like they're letting them write his history now, because he was one of those mysterious characters that nobody really knew much about. So now they're letting these guys fill in all that backstory that wasn't there before. Yeah, like I said, Favreau, it seems like Favreau's got that Midas touch. Anything he's involved with seems to do really well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I actually thought about this the other night. Did he like go into the future? This is really me sounding nerdy. I'm sorry. Like, did he go into the future and say, oh, this is going to work, and come back? Because he's not missed with anything that he does. Any project he does is pretty good in my book.
Yeah, I mean, going all the way back to like the first Jumanji, that Zarathustra, all those were just really, really solid. And then he pretty much kicked off the MCU with Iron Man. And that was pretty much him.
Yeah.
And same thing with Star Wars, you know, this revival of Star Wars. He's just been killing it. It's like he can do no wrong. And maybe he does have a time machine. Maybe he tries something, goes in future and sees, oh, that didn't work, go back, do this different.
This dude really does got the multiverse. I really think he does. Because it's just no way.
He is Kang.
He is. Like, there's nothing. Like, if his name's attached to it, you right away are like, okay, you got high expectations. You're ready for it. And it's just, I really think this guy went to the future. He's figured out time travel, and he's using it to make sure that we get the product that we want when it comes to Marvel movies. So,
well, not everybody. If you go online, there's always those Star Wars fans that hate what's going on. Like, there's people hating on Boba Fett right now.
Yeah.
Oh, they're ruining him. I like getting the backstory on this guy.
I think we need that, though. I mean, I think we need that just so that way. And keep in mind, I mean, we're at an age where obviously we've seen these movies, but it's such a different audience now. I mean, we got a younger audience that's watching it. And sometimes I think they're like, okay, I hope we're not becoming those, you know, leave my Star Wars alone. Like, I mean, it's for a new audience.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, they're not making it for us. They're trying to bring in, you know, they're trying to keep us as an audience, but they want to bring in the younger crowd too, because that's going to be your new older audience that's going to be growing up with it. So they got to walk that fine line between the two worlds there and keep all of us happy.
You know, and you know, you mentioned, you know, the two worlds, you know, at the shop. What do you usually see? I mean, because you say there's a whole new audience. I'm sure you see a young demographic that comes through that are, you know, checking out these comics and, you know, manga being so popular right now. What do you usually see coming through the store? Are you seeing us old heads coming through, or the new generation that comes through?
It's really a little bit of both. Like I said, that pop culture is a huge umbrella. It catches a lot of people. But you get like the old collectors like us, and they'll come in and they'll look at the new comics on the shelf, and then they'll go and check through the back issues. And they're the ones that want to sit at the front counter and, you know, do the debates type thing. You know, like, oh, who would you think Superman would be able to beat this guy? Yeah. And then the new generation, man, they just make a beeline straight to the back, the manga. They know what they want. They already know the characters. They're trying to get the newest one that came out, and they grab it. And it's really, you know, you'll say, oh, hey, good choice. Or they'll be wearing a manga shirt and say, hey, I love that character. They don't engage a lot of a deep conversation about those characters. Like, oh, yeah, I like it. And
yeah, I was going to say, I was like, I mean, there's definitely just two different audiences, and it's interesting. You know, Troy, one thing I will say is, like, the very first time that I walked into the store, when I say that there literally is something for everyone, you know, I mentioned earlier about there being Dragon Ball. I was so drawn to one of the cases that you had in there that had all this display of just the different characters from Dragon Ball, from the very first one to, you know, Z to GT. It's amazing how much there's just so much in that store that there literally is something for anybody when they're looking for whatever adventure they're trying to choose. And it's crazy, man. You could really be in there for hours just looking at some of the different things that you guys have in there. Shout out to Jaime, who just hit us up. He says, there's always the people that have an image of a character that they don't want messed with. Everything is objective. And I'm sure he's referencing into Boba Fett.
That's true of everything, especially, you know, I found that true when they adapt a book or a novel to a movie, because you've read that book and you've got the character in your mind, how they should look and sound and act. And, you know, they'll pick something that you didn't imagine, somebody you didn't imagine in the movie. And it takes a little bit of, you know, you switching gears to see the director's view of that character rather than the view you made in your mind reading the book. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Jaime, you know, it's either that or you don't get a movie. You got to pick somebody to do it.
And let's be honest, I'm gonna be real with you guys. If I have to make the choice between reading it or watching it, I think I'm gonna go choose watching it about 90% of the time. I'll go read the synopsis and get like a little bit of a backstory. But if there's a movie, I'm watching it, man. I'm watching it. Troy, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, you know, you guys setting up shop in Alamogordo. How's that going?
Well, we closed on the property. We own it now over on 909 O is not a number. 909 New York Avenue. And now we, you know, we got a bunch of contractors coming in looking, the roof is going to need to be fixed. Of course, it's an older building. And then, we're going to have to clean it all up and get the walls painted. And so there's some work that's going to have to be done. We're still targeting Free Comic Book Day, first weekend in May.
Okay.
To open. Hopefully we hit that, but, I can pretty much guarantee it's going to be sometime in 2022 before the end of summer.
Okay. Alrighty, so good for our Alamo fans out there. So that way they'll be able to go in they'll have a Zia Comics right there in Alamogordo for them. Let's talk about Comic-Con, El Paso Comic-Con. A lot of work going into that. You know, I know you released a couple of weeks ago, you know, the lineup. How's it going for you guys in getting that set up and just with everything that's been going on? I'm sure a lot of work, man, goes behind that.
Yeah, it does. We got there's a couple artists we haven't announced. We're bringing in Ian McGinty also, who did a lot of work with Nickelodeon, and he's got a couple of his own things too. We've had him about 4 or 5 years ago, did really well. We're trying to bring in Mike Golden. I'm waiting for his contract. He's one of the old school artists, and I got a few more that I'm just waiting to hear back from them. But a lot of the older artists and celebrities, they really don't want to travel right now. They're kind of taking a wait and see approach, and I really can't blame them, but yeah. It makes it difficult for booking. So
but let's talk a little bit about the booking, because I think you know, when we see the list and it's like, well, how come they didn't bring this person, you know, prior to COVID? You know, I understand that a lot of them don't want to travel. Talk about just how difficult it is to get some of these stars, because you could get an amazing lineup, but there was probably some sleepless nights getting these people lined up to come to a Comic-Con.
Yeah. And it's still sleepless nights because every one of them has a clause in their contract that they get called out for any more professional work that comes first, and they'll cancel their appearance. And that's what happened last time. This past year with Giancarlo Esposito. He was up in New York filming for the new Saw series. I guess it's coming out soon. And that's when they had all that bad weather up in New York, and the studios were like, hey, we're not going to let you travel. We don't want you getting stuck somewhere. And he made a little video explaining that to people. People still got a little butthurt about it, and I don't blame them, but it's out of our hands. All this stuff is done by contract. And that's what, you know, everybody thinks they're a booking agent when you start announcing people, because then they want to throw theirs in. Oh, well, why don't you bring this guy? Why don't you bring that guy? Why don't you invite this person? Well, it's not a birthday party. I don't send an invite saying, will you attend?
Will you come to my birthday party, please?
Yeah. It's a lot of, you know, contract negotiation. These guys, they don't come for free. You have to have a guaranteed amount of money they're going to make, plus travel and hotel, per diems. I mean, it starts adding up. And you know, there's a lot of back and forth and negotiations. And so you come to a contract, and like I said, it's always got that clause in there. And there's a couple different reasons why they can cancel, pandemic being one of them, and, you know, professional work for another. And I'll never fault them for canceling for either any of those reasons, because we want them to stay healthy and safe, and we want them to continue doing work.
You know, in some of the contracts that I've ever come across, you know, they always have the, in case of a natural disaster, you would never think to have that in a clause.
Force majeure.
Yeah. And then the pandemic hit, and then I was like, oh, wait, we need to make sure that that's in there, because I mean, we just didn't know how this was going to affect a lot of events, you know, moving forward, you know, now into 2022 with will events happen and won't events happen? I mean, it's crazy, but I don't think people often understand just the work that goes behind it. And like you said, it's not a birthday party.
Right. Well, New York Toy Fair already canceled. They were supposed to be in February. They've already canceled for this year.
Yeah.
So, like I said, everybody's taking a wait and see approach. We've got our fingers crossed, hoping nothing happens. And yeah, hopefully we'll have it. But the pandemic clause wasn't even a thing until 2020. They kind of, it was force majeure, which was mostly weather. And then they also had the other one, you know, for professional work. And then COVID hit, and they're like, oh, we should probably put a pandemic clause in there.
We probably need to start adding that, because we don't know when this is going to be over. Oh man, it's just so much. And I think people need to realize just a lot of work that goes into it, because like you said, it's no easy, you know, no easy task. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys have been discussing this even with everything going on, not just yesterday. I mean, because even though we're talking about it today, I'm sure you guys have had these discussions many months in the past already, kind of wondering how we're going to go about doing this, when, who, what, when, where, why, and getting all those questions answered.
Well, in 2020, everything got canceled in March, and our event was supposed to be in April.
Yeah.
So that threw a big wrench in the works, as we'd already put out the money for a lot of advertising and other stuff. And you can't get that money back. I mean, they ran the ads, so they get that money. It's not their fault, but we took a big hit on that one. And it's not just dealing with the celebrities. You also have the venue, you have vendors, you know, ticket sales. I mean, there's a bunch of moving parts with this.
Volunteers, staff. I mean, a lot of people.
Don't understand just how much work is in this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how he manages with his time. I mean, he's here talking to us on Thursday, and he should probably be calling some. As a matter of fact, you were on the phone with somebody. He's like, hey, I'll be right there. I'm taking care of some business right now. So just a lot of behind the scenes stuff that happens, I don't think people realize.
Yeah, there's a ton. And I try to be transparent as I can with it. I don't hide things from people. Just like I don't announce guests officially until we've got a signed contract. I've been accused of that. I mean, people have accused me. Oh, well, you didn't really have Giancarlo on contract. Yeah, I did. He put out a video telling you guys he was supposed to be coming, but he couldn't because of his job.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's just the thing. It's weird, because even like with music, I mean, right until they hit that stage, I mean, there's something that can come up, and then it's like, oh, they're not coming anymore. You guys can get in on the conversation. Remember, if you see this streaming, remember to drop a comment. Even if it's a hello, if there's something you guys want us to discuss, remember, you can always drop in your comments and let us know. Even for future shows, drop in some comments. We love to see the feedback. If there's something you guys want us to touch on, if you guys, there's something you guys want us to, maybe certain series that we need to be watching, something we need to be talking about, let us know in the comments. Get involved in the conversation, and we'll definitely love to hear from you guys. So thank you to everybody who's been hitting us up today. Doing some quick cleanup before we wrap it up. I did see The Eternals is on Disney Plus. Did you check out the Eternals finally?
Yeah, we watched it last night, actually.
Yeah, we did too. Pretty good. Over a lot of stuff that I didn't understand. I'm watching it again later this afternoon, because it didn't have my full attention, man. I'll be honest.
Yeah, they you know, it's not exactly like they did it in the comics, but they adapted it where I think it worked well as in a movie. And that was supposed to kick off the next phase there for Marvel. And I think they did a pretty good job. I'm pretty happy with the movie.
Yeah, I think, you know, but it's one of these, I'm really starting to understand that going to a theater and watching a movie is probably important, because we get so distracted watching it at home, man, because I was on my phone. Hey, let me go get something to eat. Let me go in the kitchen. And so I don't think I was as engaged as I went with all these other movies. So
I'm exact opposite. I turn everything off, and if somebody tries to talk to me, I'm watching the movie.
I said, I don't want to hear from you for 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Wait,
that was how long it was. It was 2.5. It seemed like a
it
very
was, long. It was about 2 hours. Yeah, it was one of the longest. I think it was the second longest right behind the Endgame for Marvel.
Yeah, it was quite up there. So I was like, okay. I was like, that's a it was like waiting for the end, and then we finally got, I was like, okay, I just need to see what the end credits are and where we're gonna go from this.
So, did you watch both end credit scenes?
Yes, I did. So, and it just left me with a lot more questions. I'm like, okay, so why did they do that? Or what's going on? I tell you, man, this weekend we'll probably have seen it. By the time we get to Monday, I've seen the movie now 3 times. Because I'll need to go back and rewatch it again. That's how I am, man. I gotta study it, man. I did more studying for Marvel movies than I did in college. So definitely priorities are off, man.
You're ready for the pop quiz?
I know. Oh man, give me a pop quiz about No Way Home. I'm acing that one. What do we got going on at the shop this weekend? Anything big coming up this weekend? People looking to get their comics this weekend? Go check you out, right?
Yeah, well, yesterday was New Comic Book Day. For DC likes to put them out on Tuesday, but we just have one new comic book day. I'm not going to have two separate ones, so we do Wednesday. Okay. So those came out yesterday. A lot of good stuff came out. As far as events, I don't think we have any real major events coming. We already had the puzzle tournament. We usually have a jigsaw puzzle tournament once a month.
Yeah.
And a paint and take class. That was the first Sunday of the month. So, this Saturday is going to be the free board game night where you can come in and any of the games that we have in our demo library, you can come in and our guys will teach you how to play the game. And if you have a game you want, you know, you're not real sure about and you want somebody to teach it to you, you can bring it in and our guys will look it over and, you know, show you what they mean by all those rules. And it's more of a try before you buy, because if you're coming in, you're looking at a game. Those games can be anywhere from 30 up to 80 bucks, depending on how big the box is. So before you drop that kind of money, you might want to see if you like the game. So if we have in our demo library, we'll pull it out, show it to you. You like it, go up to register and buy it.
That's awesome, man. Well, we make sure you guys go and check them out. Zia Comics over there in downtown Las Cruces. And of course, every Thursday, you guys can catch us here. Zia Comics Weekly right here on Facebook Live. And like we said earlier, if you ever want to jump in on the conversation, remember to leave comments, like this video, leave comments. Let us know what should we talk about next week. What do you want to know about comics? What do you want to know? We're pulling the curtain back and wanting to learn more. If there's any questions that you guys have, maybe there's some that Troy said he ain't holding back. If there's something you guys want to know about the comic book world, Troy is here to answer those questions. And of course, anything that you guys have, make sure you guys get those questions. And shout outs to Jaime for tuning in. We appreciate you. And anybody that wants to jump in on these, make sure you drop your comments and let us know. They can follow you on social media, right, Troy?
Absolutely. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, the Tiki-Taki.
Don't forget the Tiki-Taki, man.
Yeah, just look for Zia Comics on any of those.
Make sure you guys follow them, and don't forget to follow Hot 103's Big Show as well as Hot 103 on social media. And that's going to do it for us. It's a little interesting episode this week, Troy, for having to do this social distant. And I'm used to being just fully focused on camera and not having to do all the stuff that Martine and Jackie do. I'm really starting to wonder. This is
wearing different. Three hats.
Man, look at it. And with this big head, I'm telling you, man. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Zia Comics Weekly. And until then, we'll see you guys next week right here, 11 o'clock, streaming live for you guys. So make sure you guys catch us every Thursday right here on Facebook Live.
Later, nerds.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.